Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Friday. Chase and McCabe with Connor Newt, Teron Davenport, Nick Frazier, and very excited about our next guest. Daryl DMC McDaniels is in studio with us of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, famed rap group Run DMC. What's going on, Daryl?
Hello. What's up, everybody? Thank you for having me. Chase in your face. I was waiting to say that. Like, chase in your face. No, chase in your face.
That's a drop.
What did he say? DMC in the place to be.
Yes, sir.
I went to St. John's University.
And since kindergarten, I acquired the knowledge. After 12th grade, I went straight to college.
Come on,
man. I don't even know what to do right
Come
now.
On. And you know what was cool when I was in there? My record wasn't even out because it came out in 83, but when I was walking the hallways of St. John's University, I would always see Lou Conaseca.
Yeah.
Walter Berry. Was always in the gym. Shoot, like it was crazy. And then Mark Jackson,
Chris
from
Mullen.
My neighborhood, Chris Mullen.
Yeah. Are you keeping up with St. John's basketball this year?
They killing right now.
They are.
Yeah. Bringing Patino in was a really good thing.
The Godfather.
Absolutely.
So are you still in New York? Where
I'm
are
in
you?
Jersey, over the bridge.
Okay.
But my brother's still there, still got family and stuff there.
So I'm
in New York every day.
So you have a new song out that's a kind of a rock collaboration.
I like doing collaborations.
It's called She Gets Me High.
Yes.
It's got Sebastian Bach.
Yeah, me and Sebastian. Look at this lineup. Sebastian Bach, me and Sebastian on vocals.
Love that. Mick Mars
on guitar. And let me tell y'all, he's phenomenal.
He is one of my all-time favorite guitar players.
Crazy, yep.
Duff McKagan on the bass. And Travis Barker
and
on the drums.
Travis Barker on the drums. It's
that
crazy.
Is
And
awesome.
It, you know, it all came together. It all came together organically because I did a sampled version of it first. And this story is perfect for the game. So the producer, who's this hip-hop guy, he goes to a football game, the Giants game. Hmm. And he's sitting there at the game, and while he's sitting there at the game, you know, hockey games and football games, timeouts and intermissions, the DJ's always playing stuff. So he plays Motley. He plays Guns. He plays Rage Against the Machine. Plays Black Sabbath. Plays Run DMC, you know, Walk This Way and It's Tricky. So we had to sample verses. So he comes back from the game, D, we got to do this live the way that you did it with Walk This Way. So the problem became, how do I find musicians? You know, and you know, this record, I'm doing it myself. Excuse me. I'm doing it myself. There's no label involved. So I go to a party I didn't want to go to. Because I've been sober for 20 years. So, you know, I don't want to go over there. It's no fun going to, not true. But it's like, why should I go to the party? I can't drink. So my friend is like, D, please come. And I was like, nope, I'm not coming. And he wants me to get there at 1 in the morning. It's one of those parties.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo, I love you. This and that. And he's like, please, I'll sell my soul to the devil. I said, no, don't do that. So I go. So I go to the party and I roll up. Travis Barker walks up to me. And he just goes, cause now you got to understand, my dilemma is I need live musicians. I don't got a budget. I don't got a label. I ain't got A&R. Travis Barker rolls up to me, DMC. Most people jumped on the bandwagon with Run DMC with Walk This Way, but I was there since Rockbox.
Right.
I was there in 84. I go. And then Travis goes, D, if you ever need anything, you can't rent this. Yo, Travis, I got this song. I got this Black Betty idea with Ram Jam. I'm in. Send it to you. So he does his drums. I'm on a phone call for a cologne meeting. Now, I didn't want to do cologne, but I like to take meetings and see what all these other celebrities be doing. So in the middle of the meeting, the phone rang, and the lady, she trying to be polite to me. She's like, Mr. DMC, I'm so sorry. I have to take this call. This is Mick Mars. Don't tell a rock fan that. That's Mick Mars. Take it right here. So she takes the call. Hey, DMC. Hey, Mick, I'm in a meeting. I'm sorry I'm running over, but I got DMC here. So Mick on the phone goes, DMC? Oh, man, Run DMC, I love them guys and this and that. And she goes, tell them yourself. So me and Mick, we get into a conversation about hats.
Oh, nice.
Because Mick, man, I like, no, your hat is better. So we going back and forth, whose hat is better? And then at the end of the conversation, Mick goes, man, if you ever need, I got this record. It's me, Sebastian, and Trav just done. So I fly to New York. Nikki Sixx shows up in his pajamas, gives us the key to his studio. We got Mick on the record. So then we're in the search for the bass players. I want to go get Bootsy, but Bootsy's busy. I want to go get Flea, but Flea's busy. Then I heard Flea says, man, tell DMC don't get me, get Bootsy. Like, Flea wanted to see Bootsy play instead of him on the record. So then Sebastian just goes, yo, I'm going to call my friend up. I hope he picks up, you know, hopefully they ain't on tour, Guns N' Roses. So he calls Duff McKagan, and Duff picks up. And Duff goes, what's up? And Sebastian goes, man, I got this record. It's me, DMC, and Travis Barker, and Mick Martin. And Duff going, hold up, Emma Effa. What the hell you mean is DMC you? Like, he ain't believe him and stuff. So he's like, send me the record. So we send it to Duff. A couple hours later, we had the song done. So it was so beautiful that, and these guys are big celebrity rock stars.
Yeah,
but
facts.
It was like kids, oh, you know me when we was little. Can I come? I want to play. Yeah. It was one of those things. So yeah, the song is She Gets Me High. It's all of us together. And I think the real good thing about this record is, in this whole time of division, you know, sports and music shows us what America, not just America, the world really is. Mm. You go to a sports game, it's black, white, Puerto Rican, Muslim, all together, shut down all the noise and all the stuff that we as humans use to divide us. Go to a rock concert, and I'll take it even further. Go to a museum, any place where there's art and performance and creativity and human beings utilizing who we are as entities on earth, that's where you get beauty. Speaking of Walk This Way, I've been there. Not every country, but I played Ukraine. I played Russia. Those two countries at war. When I played the Ukraine, it was Salt and Pepper, Metallica, Green Day, Naughty by Nature. We played in Red Square, Run DMC in Red Square. Same thing, all this type of music. In every place that I go, every city, every state, every country, I get this. DMC, don't you know when Steven Tyler took that mic stand and knocked down the wall that was separating y'all in the Walk This Way video? That didn't just happen on the screen. It happened for real. In our sports events, our music events, anything. You know what's really big? It's big here. It's big in Austin, Texas. It's big in New York. Food festivals. Mm-hmm. Go to a food festival. It's Asian. It's hip-hop. It's metal. We are, us in this room, we are what America and the world really is. And you said you fell in love with me because of wrestling.
Yep.
Yeah.
I just want to let you know, before all this hip-hop and rock stuff, I'm a wrestling star. I go way back to the Bruno Sammartino, superstar Billy Graham, Ivan Putski, Polish Power. Don't play with me.
Greg
New York fans.
Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Yeah,
Greg the Hammer, dog.
All of the
Come on
now.
We go back.
Yeah,
for sure.
So you're from Queens, so you know what our neighborhood, it was cartoons, wrestling, music, everything.
And baseball. You can't forget baseball.
And baseball. Yeah. I'm from Queens, so for most of my friends are Yankee fans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, rightfully so, but I'm the Mets. The original Shea Stadium with the funny color thing.
You are talking.
Come on. This man is the biggest.
Let's talk
Mets
about
fan
it. When you're driving by, you're on the expressway, on the van, and you see the neon, the catcher, the pitcher, and the batter.
Tom Seaver.
Yeah, Tom Seaver.
Baseball cards.
Come on, man.
This is beautiful, man. Yep. This is probably the best interview I ever did.
It's us.
So here's the I grew up here in Nashville. So a lot of people are like, okay, so country music. I love country music. I absolutely love country music.
Glenn Campbell.
Oh, yeah.
I know about that.
My my mom raised me right, too, because she was big into Motown and, like, the 70s, 60s, 70s.
Al
like
Green,
so I grew up on, you know, Al Green, like you said, Whitney and the Temptations
Jackson
5. So
Smokey
I just
Robinson.
I love music, and then my dad was the rock guy. So I grew up on Aerosmith and Led Zeppelin and
Doobie Brothers,
Old
Black Water, Keep on Rolling,
yeah,
by the hand, Pretty Mama, all of that.
So when I
when
I get into like seventh, eighth grade, somewhere in there, I'm really getting into hip hop, and she would let me listen to you guys because you were clean.
Yeah, we didn't curse and shoot nobody.
Yeah, so it was like. All right, you know, I really got into Run DMC, and wrestling certainly opened the door for that.
For
but that,
sure.
But for you to like to hear that and to see him who was listening to you when you were first coming out, and then us,
the
family later on.
Yeah,
I mean, you're crazy. Generational. You go generation to generation.
And that
has to be special.
To add
it's
on to
really
that,
special.
I'm a lot younger than these guys. I'm 22. So I grew up with your music in my house. I mean, I've been listening to It's Tricky
for years.
Yes. I remember that.
I still remember the video taking off in the helicopter.
I remember that game being in, or I remember that song being in like a WWE game or something like that. That's how I learned your music. Exactly. So I still listen. I'd also like to say how appropriate what shoes he's wearing right now.
He's got Adidas.
So
I mean, it's
on brand.
It's crazy, but that, I mean, that's the power of music.
Yeah.
You know, music, it brings people together. I mean, you know, the fact that Run DMC. We didn't just do Aerosmith record over from the 70s. You know, the record was 74. We did it with them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it was the 70s and 80s, two different
generations. You put them back together.
And they say that. They said that PR and management hated it. But it was true. In their books, they say that's true. But look what that union, that collaboration did. Mm-hmm. It gave birth to Limp Bizkit. Rage Against the Machine, like it came, because everybody was already doing it, but everybody was like, can we really do it and not have to say we're doing some? Yeah, Run DMC made everybody say, see, we're taupe, like right now, there you go.
So was the original idea you were going to sample it?
Yeah, we was going to sample. No, hip-hop, look, hip-hop didn't, everybody out there. Grandmaster Caz from the legendary Cold Crush, remember their tapes? Mm-hmm. Like, I sold records. They sold tapes like I sold records. Grandmaster Caz said hip-hop didn't invent anything. It reinvented everything.
Yeah.
So we was going to take their music and rhyme over it. That was it. It was Jay's job to play the beat. He did an 8-bar loop of the drums. Psh, da, ba-doom, doom, da, psh, da, ba-doom, doom, da, ba-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Back to the beat. So it was 3 minutes and 30 seconds of 8 bars and drum roll. I still remember my rhyme. Now, y'all going to remember this. Before we did the Run DMC self-titled album in 84, all the first early records of hip-hop were singles, like disco records.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
All the early, the Fat Boys, rest in peace, Mark E. and Buffy, were the disco three. So we were disco, but we were disco in the streets. We was a little cooling. We wasn't doing what Studio 54 was. So even on Jam Master J, we go, we got the master of the disco scratch. So we were disco, but it was going to be that beat, guitars and loop. I still remember my rhyme. Remember, my first Run DMC's first single was 83. It's like that. It's like that, and that's the way it is. Remember that? And the B-side, and remember this, y'all gonna love this, the B-side was Sucker MCs. The first record was just drums and rhyme 2 years ago, a friend of mine. So we was doing that.
Yeah.
So by the time we got to Walk This Way, my rhyme was, I'm DMC and the place to be. Been rocking on a mic since 83. I'm the best MC in history. There will never be an MC better than me. And then Run was supposed to come in with DJ Run style. And I'm DJ Run. I'm here to get it done. Here to have some fun. Because I'm, you know, typical Run DMC stuff. It was Rick Rubin who said, you know how Rick talks with that philosopher voice? No. Look at his interviews. And what's funny about Rick Rubin, go back and look at him. Even in the early Beastie Boy days, every time Rick spoke, he would do this at you. And I think that's a hypnotic power that he has. Yeah. So he was like, no. And we were like, no, we want to rhyme. But he's like, no, do the record over the way the band originally did it. So by him doing that made me and Ron go, oh, do the record. Like, it's very hypnotizing. So it was Rick Rubin who suggested we do the record over the way the band originally did it. So while me and Run was learning the lyrics, because, you know, we had heard the record on the radio. We heard Dream On and stuff like that. But in the streets or at the block party, we didn't care about the singing, because Jay's job was to make sure as soon as it went back to the beginning of the record. So while me and Run was learning the lyrics to the Walk This Way song that we was familiar with, Rick does this. This is funny. He calls Boston and says this. Hello, my name is Rick Rubin. I know you know who Run DMC is. We're doing your record over. Do you want to do it with us? So imagine if he was on the receiving end of that phone call.
Was that to Steven?
Who's this? Is it? No, to the secretary taking the calls up to them. So they in the room. They in there. Now you got to remember, Aerosmith was working on that phenomenal album. What was the album where Dude Looks Like a Blade
and Pump?
What was the name of
Pump?
That? Yeah, I think it was. And had Angel. Phenomenal records. But here's the funny part. They could have literally, check this out, y'all. Aerosmith was so far gone, Rick said. You know, drugs, bad shows, and everything. Aerosmith could have made a record with God, Jesus, and Moses, and nobody would have cared. But Rick Rubin calls him and says, we know you know who Run DMC is. Do you want to do the records? So Steve and Joe, while they're working on that phenomenal album with no way to get it out, they could have had a $30 million advertising and marketing thing. Nobody cared. They were humble enough to do this. And it just was real cool. Yo, we know about those Run DMC guys. We like what they're doing. Because remember, at the time, hip-hop was getting a bad rap.
Yeah, yeah.
But they understood the music connection. They know, oh, we ain't got a band, but they're using our music. So they was like, you know what? What could go wrong? So Steven Tyler and Joe Perry were humble enough to do the record with us, and look what it did for the world.
That is awesome. Can you hang out for a second?
Yes, I can.
Okay. By the way, my good friend Ricky, his mama Cynthia is a huge fan of yours.
Oh,
so
wow.
She's listening right now. And
hi,
is,
Cynthia.
Is absolutely
what's
loving
happening?
This.
Chris Anders said to say that too. You're one of his favorite artists.
Oh, shout out. Yeah. Well, thank you.
We'll have more with DMC coming up next, including the new song that we will play for you, Chasing Big Joe, on this Friday, 102.5 The Game.
I got something. Do you think you're ready? This is a story about the girl Black Betty. Betty was a friend of Daisy Dukes, left Tucson, went to St. Louis. Then she made a stop in Baton Rouge, joined some Houston singing group. She made money when she got loot. Made a lot of money, now she got loot.
This is awesome. This is, welcome back in, Chasing Big Joe. She Gets Me High with DMC of Run DMC. And feature Sebastian Bach on the vocals, Mick Mars on the guitar, Duff McKagan on the bass, and Travis Barker on the drums. Is awesome.
Yeah, the real rock fans is going to know, originally, the original version was done by a group called Ram Jam.
Yep.
With the video's so cool because they shot the video in Long Island in the guy's backyard. So Ram Jam did the original version in, I think it was like 80-something, I believe it was. So Ram Jam did it, but it's actually a cover of a blues artist called Lead Belly. There's a 30-second version of the Black Betty.
Yep.
Ram Jam turned it into a full song, and we just did a remix of it.
So I am familiar with Lead Belly.
Lead Belly. Yeah, exactly. Yep, for sure.
So you influence so many artists in different genres of music. Who influenced you?
Who influenced me? I would say Freddie Mercury and Queen, Parliament Funkadelic.
Yes.
I would have to say that. And I would have to say it's more Rolling Stones than the Beatles. But the thing that really, this is going to be funny, because I went to Catholic school my whole life.
Me too.
You know, I was a Catholic school kid. So this is funny. It wasn't until about 8 or 9 years ago, Let It Be was always on the radio when I was younger.
Great song.
And Paul McCartney talks about Mother Mary comes to me speaking words of wisdom. Now, my whole life until 8 years ago, because I went to Catholic school, I thought he was talking about the Virgin Mary. And then somebody told me, no, D, his mother is named Mary. And I was like, oh, wow. So it's late 60s, early 70s, 80s music is my influence. But it was Freddie Mercury because I was like, who is this guy that does disco, opera, funk, R&B, and rock? Like, Freddie and him was so versatile. Mm-hmm. I was like, I want to be like that, but I had a little problem. I'm a little black kid from Queens. I can't sing and I don't have a band. But right on time, this new culture called hip-hop comes over the bridge from the Bronx to allow my rock and roll dreams to come true. So shout out to Freddie Mercury forever. You know, there's a big debate. All right, let's do it right here. Freddie Mercury and Michael Jackson.
I gotta go Michael Jackson.
Okay, cool.
But I'm a Freddie Mercury.
All right, well, so I go Freddie, but I gotta give Michael his props. Yeah. What about you? Freddie Mercury, Michael Jackson.
I lean the direction of as you. I I'm a rock guy, Freddie Mercury is my guy, but I do love me some Michael
Jackson. Nothing's wrong. Michael was phenomenal. Oh, you want to hear the Michael Jackson story?
Yes.
1988.
Come on. Oh, yes.
1988. We get a call, you know, Walk This Way, Ma Adidas, you know what I'm saying? We get a call, Michael Jackson wants to make a record with y'all. What? Listen to that. Y'all got to fly to L.A. So 1988, we fly to L.A. We meet Michael Jackson on Santa Monica Boulevard, right? We get there. We're supposed to meet at 2 o'clock. He shows up at 6. So it's me, Run, Jam Master J, rest in peace, and DJ Hurricane of the Beastie Boys.
Yeah.
So we're sitting in there waiting. Michael's, you know, he's Michael Jackson. He comes in late. Michael Jackson walks in. It's him, his assistant, and his cook. He wanted to have dinner and talk about this record he wanted to make with us. And guess who he was carrying?
Bubbles
the monkey, dressed in overalls, a t-shirt, a hat backward, and sneakers. So during the whole meeting, Bubbles is going from Jay to Run to me, like checking us out, seeing if we're making sure we're legit. You can't
imagine getting sized up by a chimp.
Getting charged up by That's Bubbles hilarious. And stuff. But we had a great meeting, and it was funny. You're going to love this. So first thing Michael Jackson says in the Michael Jackson voice, he had two voices. You know, I never heard F Tommy Mottola one. I never heard that one. So he goes, Run DMC, you guys are great. So
I love him. That's pretty good.
So it's DMC, Run, Hurricane, and Jay. So I'm standing there, and to this day, we never talked about this. But while he's speaking to us, if you can read, like in the movie, you can hear what I'm thinking. I'm going, oh, shoot, this is Michael Jackson telling me I'm great, and he got a monkey. So Michael goes, oh, I love this. Michael, the brilliance. I know y'all seen interviews, but I've seen it in real time. He goes, I really love the record that y'all made with Aerosmith, but I don't want to do that. So now think about, you know, what Michael made and what, you know, what we did with Aerosmith. We had no idea he was going to go, I want to do a record like the Peter Piper song.
What?
Imagine! It never happened, but imagine if it was Michael and me running Jay on a ding, ding. He said, I want it to go like this. And Michael Jackson started doing a beatbox. Dougie Fresh, I'm sorry. Yo, it sounded so much. He had the, yo, it was crazy. And he said, I'm going to rhyme here. He said, I'm going to rhyme here. Then you and Running going to rhyme. Jay going to scratch. And then I'm going to sing. Yo, Michael Jackson was producing the record in the room without a studio.
Crazy.
Now, the funny joke is, now I got to get to the joke part. So we had to meet with Michael Jackson, and people go, why you never made the record? My joke is, oh, Run DMC is too busy to make a record with Michael Jackson. No, what happened was, no, he's Michael. He's like, he was huge. But he was like, everywhere I go, I hear your music. And I remember when we got turned down, we was nominated for Grammys and American Music Awards before they had the category. Michael said, y'all should have won all of them. Yes, I told you that. But the reason why we never made the record was every time Michael was ready, we was on the road with the Beasties. When we was off the road, he was on his tour. So we
that was
got
the Tough
to
the
record.
Leather tour, right?
Yeah. So
I want to ask you, because my brothers and I, man, my pops too, like we used to always watch Crush Groove.
Actually,
Vanity, I know she wasn't in the movie, but her and Sheila E., those were my first
Princess,
crushes.
Yeah.
First crushes.
Yep. But
how did that come together?
Crush Groove?
Yes.
Oh, you're going to relive it. This is so great. Remember the movie Car Wash?
Yes.
Michael Schultz, the director of that, was approached to say, yo, we want to do this hip-hop movie. So when it came together, one thing about Run DMC, whatever generation was, you notice, we rolling with L. We rolling with EPMD. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We never said, you know, cut it off and this and that. So we said, yo, we got to do this movie, but it's got to represent what's really, it's not, it can't just be about us. You know, we the kings, we'll take that. So then Michael was like, that made it better for him as a director. You know what? Let's bring New Edition in.
Yeah.
Because you know what's funny? Before Raising Hell, Run DMC's first album, you know, huge, went gold, got us on MTV. Run DMC's King of Rock, 2 million. Run DMC was opening for New Edition. We was the opening act. Shout out to Bobby. Yeah. Shout out to Mike and all of them. Yo,
they're going
to
be here.
They'll
like
be here in 2 weeks.
And we was the opener for New Edition. Bobby Brown used to sneak out the room because, you know, they were kids. They wasn't supposed to. They come to J Room, and they used to, Michael Bivins, you know, Mike and Jay always talk business. Bobby used to come in. I remember Bobby coming into our room saying, man, I'm going to be a big solo star one day as a little kid. So kids' dreams do come true. But we said, yo, it's New Edition. Michael Schur said, I'm going to put New Edition in there. You got to put the Fat Boys in there.
All you could eat.
Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. Yeah,
Curtis Blow.
And then, and remember, hip-hop was had a little, New York hip-hop had a big scene on the West Coast. So he was like, yo, what about Pitt and Shirley E? Because it's all about the drums. Mm-hmm. Like, so Crush Groove was worked really good because it wasn't just us. I mean, it was the hip-hop thing claiming the throne. But we put all those other elements in there so everybody could say, oh, yes, we gave you everything that was rocking. But it came about like that because Michael Schultz said, yo, I'm going to put everything that's going on in. And that's why it's a classic.
That's a classic movie.
LL Scene, Box. Oh, that was his coming out moment. Yeah. That was literally his coming out. My Radio, when he did that, that was LL's introduction to the world. Watch out for this kid because he has arrived.
Let me ask you this, DMC.
Yes.
Are there guys today in the music industry that you look at and they're like, that guy reminds me of myself?
No.
No?
No. The guys that influence me, there's a couple of people that influence me in this order. In the industry, Chuck D, a Public Enemy.
Absolutely.
Because the reason why, because it's what he represents and what he does with the music. My other favorite is Andre 3000.
Ah,
yes.
Shout out to him. Even when he's playing the flute thing or whatever he's doing, I love him. You know, I love what those guys represent, authenticity.
Yeah.
Chance the Rapper.
Yes.
Love Chance the Rapper. Love that guy. He's a great person.
What about J. Cole?
J. Cole?
The new one out. Give me throwback.
The new one. I was going to say J. Cole, but before J. Cole, I was going to say, I got to shout out Kendrick.
Yep, I knew you were going to say Kendrick.
So there's people, those that, and regardless of the age, those people represent the circumference of what the hip hop music, you know, is.
Yeah.
So those are my guys. Those are my guys. And hold up, I got to shout out MC Light, though.
MC Light.
You can't forget MC Light.
Light is a rock.
Light is a rock. You know what I'm saying? And you got to understand, when you're talking about MC Light and Queen Latifah, Bahamadia, out of Philly.
Yes, that's right.
I got to shout out Bahamadia. Moni Love.
Moni Love.
When you talk about them, it wasn't a thing where we categorized them as female MCs. They were MCs who happened to be female.
Roxanne Shanté.
Come on. And Salt and Pepper. Oh, yeah, can't forget
Salt
them.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was the whole representative of that. And the thing that really made Run DMC really cool was we did a show in L.A. This was like maybe 85. And the beauty of the show was this. You're going to love this show. It was Run DMC. We played at the Palladium on Sunset Boulevard. This is 85. Everybody's on a come up. Run DMC's on a come up. Check out this bill. It was Run DMC, Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Ooh. Those are my guys.
The Beastie Boys.
Those are my guys.
And Fishbone.
Damn.
Wow. 85. And we did this show there. And Rob Trujillo from Metallica. Hope I said his name right. Was a kid. He said he was outside. He said, I didn't have to be in. I just stand by the backstage door to hear the music. Luckily this day, his brother's friend was bouncing at the back door. Rob, you want to come in? Really? Like, imagine being a little kid. Come on in. And he said he got to come in and see Run DMC, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Fishbone, and the Beasties on stage.
Crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy, right?
We're with Daryl DMC McDaniels, and you have brought us cookies. DMC stands for Daryl Makes Cookies. If you're watching on the stream, you can see them. Yeah. So when did you start making cookies?
I started the cookies about a year ago. This is funny because I've been sober for 22 years now.
Amazing.
No more 40 ounces. No more 40s. You know, so I was a 40 king. You know, I was not only king, but king of 40. So I started a comic book company 10 years ago called Daryl Makes Comics. Because I'm a huge Marvel fan. DC was cool, but I'm the correct answer.
Yes, yeah,
I'm a huge Marvel. So I was at this event, and a lady brought – I love sweets. Like, the reason why I go to the gym, like, I don't exercise to look good or try to be better than LL.
Yeah, offset the sweet.
I go to the gym because my wife hates me. I will eat sweets all day and no regular food. And what's bad about, I'm talking about all day, carrot cake, cheesecake, and then about 8 o'clock, 8:30 at night, when all the sugar wears down, you're hungry again.
Yep.
So I go to the gym, you know, because I love sweets. But long story short, I was at this event, and a lady from Harlem came in, mother, you know, mom and pop baker lady, and it's 11 in the morning. So she's like, I got these cookies and cupcakes for later. I said, no, you don't. So I'm sitting there eating this, and I just shout out. This is funny. I just said this. You know what? I'm going to start a cookie company, and I'm going to call it Daryl Makes Cookies. That's what the DMC stands for. And everybody in the room thought it was the coolest thing ever. Yeah. Everybody was like, you know, they get, oh, the DMC thing. And then about a year ago, I met this baker out of Newark, New Jersey, named Tony. He has a bakery called Tony's Minis. And I was like, can you make a cookie that is so good but different? I asked him, can you make a cookie? Because a lot of people don't like soft cookies. I asked him, can you make a cookie that is so good people that only eat hard cookies will love it? And he made it happen.
And here it is.
So it was kind of like dropping a new beat or something like that. But yeah. I did the cookies and I did the comic books because I can't do liquor or anything like that. Yeah. So I've got to stay creative.
The song "She Gets Me High" is out now. Yes. You have no idea how much fun this has been. Thank you so much for coming in.
This is the place to be, man.
I know you're in town to support the Charlie Foundation and
tonight,
Ringside, a fight for kids. Yes, it's a gala boxing event.
Yep.
At the Factory's Liberty Hall, Rumble on the Row.
Tonight.
You're going to be there.
And come, my man Blake McDaniel from Nashville is fighting. So, you know, usually a fight will have, they'll play the guy's music and the guy walks him out. Blake is insane. He's like, I'm going to do something different. You're going to come out and perform four songs. I'm performing tonight, which is cool.
Oh, yeah. That is going to be fantastic.
So, yeah, that's the Charlie Foundation.
What, can you tell the songs or like what do you?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to do Here We Go into King of Rock. Then I'm going to stop and I'm going to do the new song, She Gets Me High. And, of course, for you, I'm going to do Tricky.
Yes.
And then I'm going to close with Walk This Way.
Awesome.
And it's all for the kids, man. All we can do for the kids, let's do it for the children.
That is awesome. Daryl, DMC, it has been a pleasure having you in here. Thank you so much.
Chasing your face, baby. Yes.
Thanks sir. So much.
Thank
and
you.
We'll have more coming here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Friday. Man, that was fun.
Man.
Alongside Connor Newt, Teron Davenport, Nick Frazier, we bring in Chris Sanders, Forever Titans wide receiver. Chris, we're sorry to push you, but yeah. I hope you understood no with DMC of Run DMC in studio with us.
Man, one of my favorite groups. I grew up listening to them. I got a whole plethora of songs that I listen to sometimes when I work out, like the King of Rock, Peter Piper, Pick Paper, all that stuff, man. Off the chain, man.
Yeah, it was, we're all just kind of floating right now because it was just so awesome. Much fun.
Hey, Chris, did you hear us go bars for bars?
No, I didn't. Did you win?
No, bucket list. I just got to rap a song, one of Run DMC songs.
No
Rit DMC. Crazy.
I know Sam Cassell can rap.
Yeah, man, just the same as Tyrone Hill could use a phone.
I don't even know what sports questions to ask at this point.
Yeah.
No, I don't either. Let's just talk about Run DMC. What was y'all's favorite song?
Oh, man, my favorite song.
King of Rock for me.
Yeah,
probably mine was
jamming. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
You know what, I used to love Run's House, but I probably say I have to say Peter Piper, man. Peter Piper.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I like Jam Peter Master Piper, Jay when he's kind of crazy.
Run,
Dummy, Dummy fell down.
On his, now we can't say the rest time. Of it, you know what I mean? That was the one time they went off of PG, the one time.
Yeah, I know, but man, it was, and then you talked about the movie Crush Groove. Come on, man,
Yeah, man. Crush Groove. I used to love Sheila E., man.
Jam Master Jay is my – it was cold, man. Come on, man. I just watched that about a month ago.
What'd he say? I'm the king of rock. There is none higher. Sucker higher. MCs should call me sire to burn higher. My kingdom. You must use fire. What?
I won't stop rocking till I retire.
Come on, Chase. Finish it off.
I mean, this is just showing my youth. I have no idea.
You don't know that?
Oh, I have no idea what's going on right now.
That is a good one.
He has no idea.
Yeah. People are texting so good, in man. Saying that was like the best interview we've ever had.
How could it not really be? Was. I mean, he's telling stories awesome. About meeting Michael Jackson, getting sized up by
that's
a chick.
Crazy.
Like, that's
crazy. You know, that don't happen every day, man. And to hear his stories and what he's been, I mean, it's off the chain, man.
Off the chain.
Good interview, man.
So let's try and get this on the rails a little bit. This week, I think that everyone has been thinking, okay, could Jeremiah Love come to the Titans at four after a really good combine? We had Jeff Fisher on earlier this week, and he talked about that getting Eddie George, how much that meant for Steve McNair. You were there. You witnessed that. So could you see Love having that same impact on Cam as Eddie had on Steve?
1,000%, because if you look at who won the Super Bowl, the Seattle Seahawks won. What was one of the reasons why they won? Not because of the quarterback. I know he had a solid year, but your running back was the MVP of the Super Bowl. So what it does is it takes the pressure off your quarterback to have to make plays as opposed to defense to just try to stop the pass. But now you have a running game to where the identity is running inside zone and outside zone, and then you have another safety come up in the box. Now you have one-on-one with your wide receivers, and now your quarterback can take pickings and make him play. So he does make your quarterback better all the way around.
Chris, let me ask you about a possible signing for the Titans next week at the wide receiver position. Wandell Robinson coming into this franchise. It's not a done deal, but there's a lot of smoke trending in that direction. With what you've seen of him working alongside a young quarterback in Jackson Dart in New York, do you think that's a guy that could come in here and help develop Cam Ward? Maybe not to the level of a number one wide receiver, but as a nice little slot option.
I like him, but there's another cat that I really like. I'm not trying to get off subject, but I like Jennings from the 49ers.
Yeah.
And the reason why I like him is because I'll be saying his name wrong all the time.
Salah,
thank you. He's familiar with Jennings. And Jennings is from Tennessee. I think he's from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. But he's a guy who has an attitude that can run through your face block and play inside and outside. But then you have the other cat that we just talked about that, you know, he can make some plays. I mean, he can, you know, take a little pressure off the other receivers and make some plays. But I think you want to bring somebody in here that's a bona fide number one guy. I'm not saying he's not, but you want to bring somebody in there that can put fear in a defense.
So I want to go back to Wandell Robinson for a second because I'm having a little bit of an issue. And I want to see if you could kind of put some light and give some thought on it.
Sure,
so
sure.
You look at Wandell Robinson, he's probably going to come in around 18 to 20 million a year, right?
Right.
93 receptions this year, 92 the previous. Both years he has 140 targets.
That's a lot of targets.
What are your thoughts on that? I mean, do you feel like, hey, you could probably find that level of production from that amount of targets elsewhere at a lesser price?
Yeah, but let me ask you a question. Me and you know football, T, and everybody else on this panel does too. But is there a difference between him and DK and Alec Ayomanor? Does that bring fear?
I think the difference is he works that slot position differently.
He does.
You know,
he does.
Me is the difference.
Yep. He can work the slot. I mean, you got to have a guy to where he can be a security blanket for your quarterback. You definitely need that. But if I'm scheming against a guy, I want you to be a defensive coordinator. If I'm scheming against a guy, yeah, he may have a lot of kids, but does he scare you? Be like, oh, my God, I got to watch this guy. I got to do something to stop him. Does he bring that type of fear, you know, in that guy?
And that's my point. That's what I'm getting at. Where I feel like, even though he was productive, but the 90 catches on 140 targets is like, is that lights out for a defensive coordinator? And if I'm spending 18 to 20, that's what I want. I want somebody that, beginning of the week, they're pounding the table. Hey, listen, man, number so-and-so is not beating me.
Yep, that's what I'm saying. Now, if I say Jamar Chase, and you're a defensive coordinator, what would you do? Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm not sleeping.
What if you say Jefferson?
It's like Dennis Hopper. I see bad things, man.
Did I hear you guys talking about Jefferson yesterday? And like, if they traded him, you know, would you?
I was asked if I would trade the number four overall all pick day, for right? Justin Jefferson. Right. I said, darn right,
all day.
Yeah, because he brings experience, but also, you know, defensive coordinators have to take a attack of what he's doing. Let me ask you a question. Like, just like if I'm a defensive coordinator, I say, okay, I got a scheme against one receiver on this team. Who would you say?
Jefferson.
There you go. Yeah. No. I'm talking about the receivers that they have now.
Oh, now?
You see, I didn't say anything.
Yeah, there's nobody.
Well, and that's no slight to them. It's just, I mean, they're solid players.
Absolutely.
You
they're
know,
solid.
They're not the elite.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. When you're getting paid $18 million, you better catch, if they're throwing a ham sandwich at you, you better catch everything. You better not miss nothing. So, you know, it's all good.
Chris, why is it, you know, I asked Coach Fisher this too, but like, I feel like signing a free agent receiver is so difficult to hit on. And he referenced that it's all about scheme, that a lot of times you don't have the right scheme, but he wouldn't say who, but he's like, we signed a receiver one time that, I mean, he caught a lot of just slant routes, and then he came here and was having to do more and wasn't successful. I think I knew who he was talking about, Yancey Thigpen. Yeah. But, you know, I just – it's fascinating to me that you see so many receivers leave where they were drafted and then it doesn't work out.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. I mean, there's a couple of guys that are really, really good, like, you know, Alec Pierce. But what does he do? He takes the top off the defense. He's run posts. But can they run the whole route chain? I think that sometimes – I think TD, you know, referenced it earlier. A lot of times we look at numbers. Numbers are great. But then all of a sudden you get into a different system, and you're doing a lot of RPOs, and you got to run slants, you got to run hitches, you got to run all those things. But that wasn't your forte. It's kind of like, you know, you always run in posts, you always run in comebacks. Then all of a sudden you got RPOs, and you can't get off the press. You know, it all depends on what the receiver does well. What does he do well? Can he get off the line of scrimmage? Does he have quick feet? Can he play in the slot? You know, all these things that you have to do, you know, with a wide receiver. But if all he can do is just run a go route and not run slants, then now you got a problem because they're going to put a safety over top and take that out.
Chris, appreciate it as always, my friend. Thanks for pushing back for us. Have a great weekend.
No worries, fellas. Y'all take care, fellas.
Absolutely. Chris Sanders, Forever Titans wide receiver, joining us here on the program. This has been fun so far. We got comedian TJ Miller, who's gonna be in studio here in just a second.
I'm gonna stay around so I can laugh. You know
there you go. There you go. TD, thank you. Thanks for hanging out.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank absolutely. You. Like, that was awesome. We'll get you that audio. That was awesome.
You don't understand what you did for me. My brother, that's why I was late on some of the questions. My brothers are texting me. They're like,
is this real right now?
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't geek out like that. Get Star Trek off.
No,
but good
that was,
Lord.
That was awesome. We will have more coming up next here on 102.5 The Game. Lil Run DMC bringing us back. TD still hanging out, enjoying that.
I just imagine TD in like that red jumpsuit. Just rocking the stage.
I had the black jumpsuit, Adidas suit with the stripes, with the red stripes on it, the white shell tops with the black stripe. Oh yeah.
Cameron, real quick, before we get to TJ Miller, Cameron in our text line says, Robinson is not a difference maker. He just catches bubble screens. He's a wide receiver three at best. How is he different from DK?
He's not off. He's different from DK in that he's a different player. He works the intermediate routes, and he works the slot from the perspective that this offense is going to use the slot. DK is more of a vertical slot. He's not a guy who's shifty, who's swift from the route running side of things. He's one that you're like, hey, look, I want you to just run by him, and that's what he does. If you notice, like the touchdown that he had was Jackson? No. I forget which one it was, but he was on the right side. He was number two, and he ran a deep over route, and he caught it going from right to left, and he got into the end zone. Cam Ward just threw it up there.
Would you take Pierce over Robinson or Dobbs or Jennings, like any of those guys?
I like Pierce, and we talked about it this morning with Robbie and Rex Road. I like Pierce, but at $30 million – that's too rich.
Yeah.
Because he's not a guy that comes right in and you say, hey, that's your number one.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's the problem. The Pierce situation, it scares me because it reminds me of Alvin Harper back in the day when he left the Cowboys and went to the Bucks, and it didn't work that well for him. I'm not saying it's not going to work well for Pierce, but that scares me.
TD, stick around. Hang on as long as you want. Coming up now, we're going to have TJ Miller, comedian. He's been on with us before. He's in town. He's going to be at Zany's. We'll tell you more about that coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.